Morning. Annyeong haseyo. A warm welcome to you all. If you are a visitor for the first time, we offer you a special welcome. Tea and coffee will be served in the Mayo Hall between our two morning services. And there is also a reflective service at 6:30 this evening. Pastoral news. Great news. Congratulations to Barry and Hannah on the birth of Jack Stanley, who was born on Monday. Congratulations to the grandparents too. John Reed is in St George's Hospital. He had a mild stroke and is now feeling much better, and the family would like us to pray for him. Ken Trigg is transferring from Kingston Hospital to Tolworth Hospital. Margaret Davis will be coming home on Tuesday. Please phone John before you plan to visit. Olive Webb is in hospital and needs our prayers. Congratulations to Sharon Henriquez Vernon, who has gained a new job. More great news. Last Sunday's Autumn Music Fest was fantastic, and it raised £520. And there's more music to come. This coming Thursday at 12:30, we have a lunchtime recital here in the sanctuary, which is being given by two first-rate musicians. Mary Munday, who was also recently the principal cellist with the Royal Opera House Orchestra, and pianist Henry Roach, who's been the head of music at the Royal Ballet School for 20 years. And do find a leaflet and take one home with you to remind you of that event too. The November Church News is now available, and if you don't receive the electronic version, please be sure to collect your copy from the back of the church. One last thing is to do with Christmas and our joint Christmas card. If you wish to contribute, the envelopes are now ready for you to take away with your space for writing your message and your Christian Aid donation card. I believe that they are now at the back. Is that right, Barbara? Sorry? Oh, they're all in the church magazine. But if you have it electronically, go to Denise. Thank you.
We join together to worship God. It seemed like a dream when the Lord brought us back. We cried out, "Oh Lord, our God, we ask you to bless your people again." We join to sing, "Ye servants of God, your master proclaim." Right, you gang. Hello, 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 hello. We're gonna say a prayer now, okay? Let's pray. We come to gather before the Lord Jesus. From the places where we feel that we are an outcast. We call out to you, Lord, from the clamour of our lives, from the noise, our televisions, our phones, our radios, the screens and the tablets. But beyond all the noise, we sense you still. We call out to you as Bartimaeus called out to you, and we know that you will hear us. We confess that sometimes we think that we know your business. We know who and what you will be bothered with. And we seek to keep everything else at bay. Forgive us for thinking that we know better than you do. Thank you that you listen to us, that you hear us, every one of us, and you are merciful to us. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not bring the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. Our kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So for the last few weeks you've all been working on your shoeboxes, and today we're going to bring them all in. We're going to dedicate them, and Peter is going to tell us what happens next. So if you've got a shoebox, and you've managed not to put it on the trolley, if you've got a shoebox, could we have your shoebox up, please? Dahi's got a shoebox. Sophia Brain's got a shoebox. Olive's got a shoebox. Put them on here, please. Let's see your shoeboxes. Bit of a run on that old Christmas paper, see that? See, Valerie behind you. Oh. Rosemary, are you just boasting or are you bringing other people's? Are you boasting or are you bringing other people's? Look at me, I'm sorry. Yeah, I get that. But that's it. Cool. Yeah, butt out, Grandad. Right, so now what's going to happen is Peter Peter is going to tell us what happens next.
Doesn't that look marvellous?
Yeah, it does.
So very good and generous of everybody who's brought boxes today. I'm sure they're going to be very, very well received. Now, what we do is when we get them home, we've got lots of these pallets from Tesco's, and we put 6 boxes in each pallet, and then with lots of newspaper and rolls of sticky tape, of packaging tape, we put it round and protect them so that they can then go down. A volunteer comes and collects them from us and takes them down to Worthing, where all the other volunteers come to a warehouse, and they're then loaded onto, you know, the big trucks. And I think they go out with about 3 trucks with all these boxes like that. And whilst we've also been collecting boxes, we've been collecting coins. And this is the 3rd year we've done that. And I said to Jean that nobody's going to have coins again this year, but they came in little packets. We collected them on the coffee bar. We collected them like this, and yet again, we collected them even like this. So, wonderful effort from the church, the foyer visitors, and everybody who's brought these things. Thank you very much indeed. I'm sorry, one other thing. Rosemary's been collecting warm clothes or blankets and things like this, and we've got, I think, about 6 bags or so of those. So that's well done as well.
So a big thanks to Peter and Jean for allowing their lives to be disrupted by all this collection. And now what I think we should do is we should pray. So let us pray. Loving God, we know that one shoebox will not sort out the lives of people where the economy of their country has collapsed. But our prayer is that it would be a sign to somebody that somebody somewhere cares about them, and it would bring cheer and joy and happiness, and help people to live lives, even if it's only for a short term, have a better time. So bless those who will collect the boxes and those who will distribute them. Bless those involved in the transport and the distribution. And we thank you for Peter and Jean conducting this ministry among us. Bless these gifts, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Shine, Jesus, shine. Oh, some people's favourite, some people's least favourite. Let's give it some.
Just before you go out, shall we all pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord Jesus, we're going to be looking at and studying the story of Bartimaeus today. Open our eyes that all of us would be more able to see you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you are studying Bartimaeus, otherwise I'm in real trouble, aren't I? Trades Descriptions Act, getting taken through the courts by the kids. Oh, dear Lord. Jeremiah is a prophet who lived through a time when the people were taken into exile. He wasn't taken into exile, but they were. And then the time came when they were going to come back. Which sounds like it would be a great time of whooping and hollering and delight. Well, that would be true, but it would depend on your physical condition, wouldn't it? And this passage is to be read to us by Alan Oscroft.
Jeremiah 31, reading verses 7 to 9. The Lord says, "Sing with joy for Israel, the greatest of the nations. Sing your song of praise. The Lord has saved his people and has rescued all who are left. I will bring them from the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. The blind and the lame will come with them, pregnant women and those about to give birth. They will come back a great nation. My people will return weeping, praying as I lead them back. I will guide them to streams of water on a smooth road where they will not stumble. I am like a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my eldest son."
When the elders were gathering just before, we actually had a bit of a dispute about this reading, because we think this reading is actually Maddie's copyright. This reading that we're going to, because it was she's presented it so well at the 11:30 service and also led us using it at the church weekend. So Rose, who was going to read it to us, was just thinking, you know, I don't know whether I should be reading it because it's Maddie's to share. But no, this is, yeah, good. Thank you for. Who knew that there were bits of the Bible that were copyright to a particular individual? Yeah. Anyway, the story is of the long journey. Oh, it's not. It's going to be Trudy, is it?
Yeah.
That's good, Trudy. Anyway, let me just go for a minute. Which is that we've been going through the long journey of Jesus with the disciples, different events. This is the last one in the series. Next thing that happens would be the triumphal entry. We're not going there yet. So Trudy will read to us.
They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, take pity on me." Many of the people scolded him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, take pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Get up, he is calling you." He threw off his cloak, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do? What do you want to do for me? What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. "Teacher," the blind man answered, "I want to see again." Go, Jesus told him, your faith has made you well. At once he was able to see and follow Jesus on the road.
If you could ask Jesus for anything, what would you ask from him? We're now at the end of the march through Mark's Gospel. The next thing that happens, as I said, is the entry into Jerusalem. We've already had the healing of one blind man, which happened in Mark chapter 8. And Jesus and the gang in this continuum are on their way to Jerusalem. And it's part of the deal that in this season of Passover, everybody is supposed to go to Passover, but not everybody can. So the people that can't go line the streets and cheer on the pilgrims who are going to make it. And in among the crowd is Bartimaeus, who is a blind beggar. And he sees who Jesus is right from the start. He sees who Jesus is in the sense that others do not see. He knows who Jesus is. He uses the title that implies a messianic place for Jesus. Son of David, he shouts. How did he know that? Why did he use that title? It's so unlikely. It's clearly shouting out that he believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And I wonder whether Jesus actually got him called over just to get him to shut up. Anyway, Jesus calls for Bartimaeus to be invited up, and straight away Bartimaeus is up and he responds. Bartimaeus does not put it off. He doesn't reject the chance. He seizes it. In our lives, there are times when there are one-off opportunities. Jesus speaks, Bartimaeus gets up, and he's ready for action, and he seizes the opportunity. The first bit from this text is, do we seize the opportunities, the one-off, never-to-be-repeated opportunities that come our way? Do we spot them? Do we notice them? Do we have the courage to grab them? Or are we just too busy, too preoccupied? We didn't notice, we let them go. So Jesus says to Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? Would we have waited and asked Bartimaeus that question if we had the power? Would we not have thought, he's blind, what he'll want is his sight back. Let's just crack on. I'm busy, I've got things to do, bish bash bosh, and on we go. Would we have been respectful of Bartimaeus? Jesus does not assume that Bartimaeus is a failed human being who needs sorted out. He doesn't presume that for Bartimaeus the worst thing in his life is the fact he can't see. If you could ask Jesus for anything, what would you ask him? I've been musing around my head this week is, did Bartimaeus ask Jesus for the right thing? "What can I do for you?" Bartimaeus could have said, "Re-establish Israel." He could have said, "Kick out the Romans." But he actually says, "Give me my sight." Is he right? Is it right to ask for something so personal? Sometimes our faith is vague and sentimental, and our vision of Jesus and Jesus' power is too small and too little related to our physical existence. If you could ask Jesus for anything, what would you ask him? I think if Bartimaeus had said, "Re-establish Israel and kick out the Romans," I think Jesus would have spotted the right answer straight away and known it for what it was. So the interviewer, in Miss Congeniality, when they're all there as in their beauty pageant, and Sandra Bullock, I think it is, who is the beauty contestant, who's actually an undercover police officer, the interviewer says, "What is the most important thing that our society needs?" And she replies, "There should be harsher punishments for parole violators." And the crowd is silent. And then she says, "And world peace." And the crowd cheers. The right answer. In some situations, there are the right answers. But I think, as I said, if Bartimaeus had offered the right answer, Jesus would have spotted it a mile off. The answer of what you know you would say as opposed to what you should say, in all honesty. And if you know what you would ask, what stops us asking for it? Sometimes it's like the story that we had last week, where James and John come to Jesus and they say, "When you are restored in glory and you are sitting on the throne in heaven, one of us on your right, please, one of on your left, please." And Jesus says, "No, not happening, not my job." The answer is no. Maybe it is that sometimes we don't ask him because we have been disappointed by life too many times. And we don't want to add Jesus onto the list of people that have let us down. And many people have asked Jesus for things, for personal things, for deep things, and the answer has been no. Is he worthy of taking the risk? But Bartimaeus asks for his sight. And Jesus doesn't tell Bartimaeus off. He doesn't say, "Come on, is that the best you can do?" He doesn't criticize him for not being high-minded enough. And there are religious people, I'm sure, who would say, what he should have said is, "I want to be able to learn the whole of the law." Or, "I want to be able to stand and pray for hours." But Bartimaeus asks for his sight. He wants his sight. That is his deepest passion. He presents it to Jesus, and his sight is restored. And Jesus thinks, that's an okay response. And for Bartimaeus, his faith means that he is healed. And Bartimaeus is delighted. Joy is also there in the reading from Jeremiah. We have the return of the group who have been in exile. There are joyful shouts. The people are delighted. The blind and the lame will be gathered in along with those who are in labor, and they will make their journey. A vast group will return, praying and weeping. And the blind in this group will remain blind. And the lame in this group will remain lame. And those who are in labour will give birth. It will not be that their labour is postponed. This is not a story of life being neatened. Among those who travel God's way, there is still weeping. There is still need for comfort. Even if we are walking in the right direction, that does not mean that it will not be demanding. Do not think, my life is tough, the life of the church is tough, it's all difficult, means somewhere we've made a mess. That is the reality of what life is like. Even if you are going in the direction that you should be going in, it will still be demanding. And in the middle of the challenges, God will be present and God will be calling and guiding people home. It is not that if you are in God's plan and God's purposes, always physical challenges are sorted. Psychological challenges are sorted. Spiritual challenges are sorted. It is not like that. It could be that from God's point of view, our physical state is not the worst thing about us. It could be that from God's point of view, what matters more is the fact that we shouted at a stranger and were mean and unkind to people that we love. That from God's point of view, that is actually a higher priority than our moaning and our wittering about whatever our physical malarkey is. The things in us that need healing are not the physical things about us. It could be that the things about us that need healing are the hidden parts of us that nobody knows about apart from God. Two final things. First thing is to say, in the encounter between Jesus and Bartimaeus, who calls Bartimaeus up? Who calls him up? The crowd. The crowd who had just, a verse earlier, been telling him to hush, be quiet. Now, Jesus makes the crowd get Bartimaeus up. Who is going to tell people if we don't tell them? And who should we be telling? Even unlikely people, is the message of this story. The second thing that I would finish with, hurrah, there is a God. The second thing that I would finish with is this. Jesus says to Bartimaeus, go home, go. And the first thing that Bartimaeus does, he receives his sight. Jesus says, go. And Bartimaeus says, no. The first thing that Bartimaeus does after receiving his sight is he is disobedient. Hurrah! Bartimaeus is one of us in our failure and in our messing it up. Marvelous! He might well be a restored man. He might well be a man of faith. He might well be a man that God's at work. But great, he's one of us in the school of cosmic failures. Hurrah! Bartimaeus is told to go. Bartimaeus decides that the better deal is to follow Jesus. God at work, even in failures like Bartimaeus, like me, like you. Good news indeed. Let us be still, and then we will pray. Lord Jesus, sometimes I don't know what to pray. I know you must get sick of the long list of things that I want, things that I think I need. But you know what I need. And sometimes I make my trifling confession. And I confess about an unkind word or a good deed that I didn't do. And I only scratch the surface of my deep sin and my deep wretchedness. Lord, come. Meet me in my need. Have mercy on me. Transform me. Lord, we pray. Amen. Have faith in God, my heart. So we join together to pray. Let us pray. We pray for those who cry out for justice, who have the courage to raise their voices and confront the norm. We pray for those who are sidelined, who are forced to sit still while the world moves on without them. We pray for churches. We who embody Christ in our communities and are called to reflect his love. We pray for all whose fullness of life is challenged, for those whose circumstances make them an outcast. The sick who have little medical aid. The sick who have medicine but no one to comfort them. Those whose illness is in their mental health, and they are surrounded by people who find it strange or inconvenient. We pray for those whose society walks past because they lack the financial resources to participate. We pray for those who are bereaved and whose grief is hard for others to be with, and so they walk past quickly. We pray for ourselves as we travel through this week. For the burdens and the anxieties that are ours. For the blindness that is ours. Lord Jesus, come alongside us, and when you do, give us the vision to respond. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let's continue our worship by making our offering. Let's pray. We dedicate this money. We dedicate ourselves. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ is waiting. Certainly true. Let's give us all.
Thank you.
So let us go into the world where Jesus Christ is already waiting. And let us open the horizons of our vision to take in the margins, the shadows, the grey areas where for some the fullness of life is lacking. And let us go and be merciful as the Lord has been merciful to us. Amen.